Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Law Hour. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. It's an educational service in the public interest. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour is heard live daily, 7 days a week, and worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and the Gordon Law School, please go to my website. It's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour brings you important information about law news, education, medicine, economics, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame poisoning, artificial sweeteners, right after this message. You know, marriage is a state-licensed business. It's a three-party limited general partnership between you, your spouse, and the state. And like any other state-licensed enterprise, it's regulated by the Welfare Department, the Department of Family Services, and the Family Court. And the best part about it all is that you don't have any input into, or say-so over, the marriage, divorce, dissolution, custody, alimony, child support, protective custody, or restraining orders. But you do get to pay for all of it, and if you fail to pay for it, you go to jail. Now, marriage is the most important and the most expensive contract that you can engage in. It's more binding, it's more costly than your military enlistment or your 30-year home mortgage. And you probably know a whole lot less about it than you do about your military obligation or your house payments. Now, 67% of all marriages in this country end in divorce, but whether you're a husband or a wife, you do have rights, privileges, and immunities to advance, to protect, or defend against any breach in this marriage contract. And that's why you should know and understand the terms and conditions of your marriage contract before you marry. And you should be the one that writes that contract instead of letting the state write it for you. Now, whether you're married or not, why don't you write for my free general law CD package and let me share some vital information with you about the law and this marriage contract. You can order yours by simply calling direct 417-273-4967. That's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. And if you're on the web, you can go to my webpage. It's georgegordon.org. That's an easy one to remember, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email to get your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about the aspartame, and then it moved into sucralose. Sucralose Toxicity Information Center puts out some information on another artificial sweetener. It's also known as Splenda. It's a chlorinated derivative that comes from the actual sugar manufacturing process. Splenda, also known as sucralose, is artificial sweetener, which is a chlorinated sucrose derivative. Facts about this artificial chemical are as follows. Now, pre-approval research showed that sucralose caused shrunken thymus glands of up to 40% shrinkage and enlarged liver and kidneys. The manufacturer put forth two arguments in an attempt to claim that sucralose is non-toxic. The dose of sucralose in the experiments was high. However, for chemicals that do not have generations of safe use, the dosage tested must be adjusted for variations in potential toxicity with the human population and between humans and rodents. In order to do this, toxicologists estimate a variation of effects in the human population of about 10 times. In other words, one person may not have any effects until a dose of 10 milligrams for kilogram of body weight is reached, and another person may not have chronic toxicity effects at 1 milligram per kilogram of body weight. And in addition, it is well known that many chemicals are much more toxic in humans than they are in rodents or even monkeys. For example, the chemicals that the sweetener aspartame breaks down into vary from 5 to 50 times more toxic in humans than in rodents. Therefore, toxicologists estimate a further 10 times the dose for differences between human and rodent toxicity for a total of 100 times. Now, when the companies are manufacturing these artificial sweeteners and then testing them, they want to get these products on market. And the FDA allows the company to do the experimentation, keep copious notes, and then supply that information to the FDA or the Department of Agriculture, which they no doubt do. Now picture this. Let's suppose that you've got this product, and we'll call it NutraSweet, sucralose, aspartame, cyclamate, whatever it is that you want to sell. To you, this means money. Is there a temptation then on your part to fudge a little on the tests? You see, if you've got money invested and you're expecting to make a profit off of this, the natural tendency, just based upon human nature, vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear, says, well, if I have to test this, and I test it on monkeys, the monkeys are going to be much more sensitive to this than are the rats. Therefore, should we conduct these tests on monkeys, which probably will show that this product is unsafe for human consumption? Or should we test this on rats, which can tolerate 50 times more of this toxin than can monkeys, which then we can say we did animal tests and it had little or no reaction? Which would you do? Well, the big multinational corporations selected the rats, and for good reason. The reason is the rats can take 50 times more of this toxic poison before they show any adverse symptoms than can primates. So, when we test this in an independent laboratory, now let's just try it another way. Let's suppose that you send this over to Underwriters Laboratories or some other independent laboratory and you say, here's my product. Test this and make a determination as to whether this is safe for human consumption. Oh, and by the way, just send me the bill. The independent laboratory doesn't have any investment involved in this project, other than the amount of money that they're being paid to conduct the test, which is probably published in their price list. We conduct these tests and we'll test this product for you and we'll charge you $10,000. What then is the probable result going to be? Are they going to test it on primates or are they going to test it on rats? Well, since toxicologists know that the primates, that is monkeys and chimpanzees and etc., are going to be more sensitive to this, they're probably going to use, since the objective is to see if this is safe for human consumption, they're probably going to use the primates. And when these primates die and they write up their report, or the primates show epileptic seizures and grand mal seizures, they're going to write up a report and say, no, this stuff is not safe for human consumption. We tested it on primates. That's the closest we can get to humans. And it had these bad results, so therefore you better forget this project. And let's suppose this project maybe is worth $1 billion a year to you in lost sales. Well, would you put this product on the market knowing that it was going to kill people or make people sick so that you could make $1 billion a year? Well, if your answer to that is, gee, no, I wouldn't do that, then obviously you have never been put into the position of having $1 billion a year taken away from you. Because that's a very powerful motivator, money. One of the motivators of human nature is greed. Greed is predicated upon your lust for compensation, money, power, greed. And it's a very powerful motivator. It's like sex. You know, if you put a bull on one side of the fence and you put a cow in heat on the other side of the fence, the bull will break the fence down. If you want a hole in the fence, put a bull on one side and a cow on the other that's in heat, and I'll guarantee you, you'll get a hole in the fence. That's a powerful motivator. Now, ordinarily, the bull will not break the fence down and neither will the cow. Now, when we put money into the equation, it's a powerful motivator in human nature. And you dangle money in front of people and they will sell drugs. That's why we have illegal drugs on the street. It's the motivation for money. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're a college graduate from the business school at Harvard and you take a job at Enron. Money is such a powerful motivator that it will cause good men to do bad things. And that's what we see in the artificial sweetener industry. It's not what would you do, it's what has already been done. Now you might say, well, I wouldn't kill people and I wouldn't hurt or harm people for money. But that's you. Most people would. And if not most people would, some people would, and the people at the FDA, the Department of Agriculture, and the Searle Pharmaceutical Company have already done it, past tense. Now, there are evangelists running around the country publishing this information on the World Wide Web. And they have a mission. They're trying to save you. I'm not. I'm just here to deliver information. When you come to the law or you come here for information and I'm delivering the information, but I don't care whether or not you kill yourself with aspartame. I don't care whether or not you smoke or whether or not you buy and use heroin, cocaine, crack. That's a decision that you have to make. But you are entitled to informed consent. Somebody should tell you. Somebody should give you the information so that you can make an informed judgment. And that's my complaint, and that's why I'm on the air. You see, you haven't seen the other side of the story. Now, not too long ago, I made a report to you on MSG and what its side effects are and what kind of products you'll find MSG in and under what labels and names. I showed you how deceptive it was when you look on a package and it says natural flavoring. Natural flavoring. That means MSG. MSG is a poison. Aspartame is a poison. And it goes under various names, such as Equal. There's nothing equal about it. It's a toxic poison. But we hang labels on these poisons to make them sound good, make them sound palatable. Now, there are people out there that will say, well, I couldn't care less. Well, I don't care either. I'm not trying to get you to believe me. I don't care whether you believe me or not. I'm just here to deliver information, and then it's up to you to take the information and do with it as you please. Now, let's go on, look at this next item. In order to estimate a potential safe dose in humans, you must divide the lowest dose in a given rodent that was seen to have any negative effects on their thymus glands, liver, or kidneys by 100. That dose is then known as the maximum tolerable daily intake for lifetime use. Now keep in mind that the TDI, that is the tolerable daily intake for lifetime use, some chemicals are much more than 10 times more toxic in humans than they are in rodents, or they will cause cancer in humans in very low doses and long-term exposure, and they do not cause cancer in rodents at all. So a person who is ingesting the TDI, that is the tolerable daily intake for life, of some chemical may find that it causes cancer or immune system or neurological problems after many years or decades of use. So if the manufacturer claims that the dose was equivalent to 50 diet sodas, then the TDI would be one half of a diet soda, and even that dose may or may not be safe for human consumption. Now, the manufacturer claimed that the sucralose was unpleasant for the rodents to eat in large doses, and they said that starvation caused the shrunken thymus glands from the New Scientist of 23 November 1991, and it was reported on page 13. Toxicologist Judith Bellin reviewed studies on rats starved under experimental conditions, and she concluded that their growth rate could be reduced by as much as a third without the thymus losing a significant amount of weight, less than 7%. The changes were much more marked in rats fed on sucralose. While the animal's growth rate was reduced by between 7 and 20%, their thymuses shrank by as much as 40%. Now, the recent research shows us that a possible problem with cecal enlargement and renal mineralization has been seen in post-approval animal research. Sucralose breaks down, and despite the manufacturer's misstatements, sucralose does break down into small amounts of 1-6-dilorofructose, a chemical which has not been adequately tested in humans. And independent long-term human research shows us that the manufacturer's 100s of studies, some of which show hazards, are clearly inadequate and do not demonstrate safety in long-term use. Chlorinated pesticides, the manufacturer claims that the chlorine added to sucralose is similar to the chlorine atom in the salt, or the salt molecule. That is not the case. Sucralose may be more like ingesting tiny amounts of chlorinated pesticides, but we will never know without long-term independent human research. And the conclusion is that while it's unlikely that sucralose is as toxic as the poisoning people are experiencing from Monsanto's aspartame, it is clear from the hazards seen in pre-approval research and from its chemical structure that years or decades of use may contribute to serious chronic immunological or neurological disorders. In the addendum of October the 2nd, 2000, we find that occasionally persons emailing ask questions about sucralose research, and what follows is a copy of a response on such questions. The answer starts by summarizing the aspartame NutraSweet issue and then addresses the sucralose issue. All right, let me pause here. Sucralose is not as toxic or as poison as is aspartame. It's toxic, it's poison, it's a killer, and it kills rats, and it causes side effects in rats, which we're coming to, just like aspartame, but not as many, not as much. So from that, the manufacturer concludes it's much safer than aspartame, and that's why you should buy our poison. That's insane. To say that the red death pill takes twice as long to kill you as the green death pill. Shouldn't we be saying we want the white life pill, that we don't want either red or green death pills? Again, that's a decision for you to make, but the manufacturers use that kind of logic. If that's the kind of logic that you think makes sense, you know, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Sucralose is not as toxic as aspartame and takes twice as long to kill you. Therefore, sucralose is twice as safe as aspartame. So let me start by saying that, as you may know, there is a quickly growing body of evidence demonstrating the toxicity of aspartame, and this includes the recent European research showing that ingesting aspartame leads to the accumulation of formaldehyde in the brain, other organs and tissues, and formaldehyde has been shown to damage the nervous system, immune system, and cause irreversible genetic damage in humans. An extremely large number of toxicity reactions reported to the FDA and other organizations, and a recent report showing that nearly 100% of independent research has found problems with aspartame. Now, why is this relevant to the sucralose question? Well, similar to the aspartame situation 15 years ago. The pre-approval test indicated potential toxicity of sucralose. There are no independent controlled human studies on sucralose, similar to 15 years ago for aspartame. There are no long-term 12 to 24-month human studies of sucralose's effects, and there is no monitoring of health effects. It took government agencies decades to agree that there were countless thousands of deaths from tobacco. Why? Well, simply because there had been no monitoring or epidemiological studies. Without such monitoring and studies, huge effects can easily go unnoticed. So without even addressing the pre-approval research showing potential toxicity, it is clear that sucralose has no long history, that is, decades of safe use, no independent monitoring of health effects, no long-term human studies, and no independent human studies. And I would hope that the precautionary principle now commonly used in Europe would be a guiding force for people who are interested in health. Otherwise, we might as well just use any poorly tested artificial chemical that has shown potential for long-term toxicity. Now, this is precisely the same experimental process that was used with aspartame when it came out in the early 1980s. We will use the American population, we will use the people out here as the experimental base. Well, now the results are in on aspartame. It's a deadly toxic poison that's killing people. And the thing that is diabolical about it is that it mimics a number of diseases, and so doctors are treating Parkinson's disease when in reality it's aspartame poisoning. And they don't know. And the people who have the symptoms don't know. Could they know? Yeah, they could if they put their minds to it. But you know, there are more than 84,000 chemicals that have been discovered or marketed since the end of World War II. All of these chemicals in our environment, many of them in our foods, some of them are less toxic than others. It's my conclusion that every chemical that's not natural, that grows out of the ground or comes out of an animal, is probably toxic to some degree. And the fact that it doesn't kill you for a long period of time doesn't mean that it's safe. As I mentioned earlier, when you're looking at sucralose and you say, gee, it has half the toxic effects of aspartame. Well, my God, aspartame should be safe because it has half the toxic effects of arsenic. You mean if you take 3 grams of arsenic, it'll kill you in an hour, but if you take 3 grams of aspartame, it won't kill you for 10 years? I guess you're better off with the aspartame than you are with the arsenic, but it would seem like to me, or common sense would say, that we should avoid both, shouldn't we? I know it's a wild new concept, but mull it over and see what you think. Now, there are some potential dangers from sucralose that we haven't talked about yet. There's a new artificial sweetener on the block, and it's already in a wide range of products. Some are even sold in health food stores and manufactured by nutritionally oriented companies. But is it proven safe, and does it provide any benefit to the public? Does it help with weight loss? Are there any long-term human studies? Has it been shown to be safe for the environment? Well, the answer to all of these questions is a resounding no. The artificial sweetener, sucralose, which is sold under the name of Splenda, is one of the up-and-coming next generation of high-intensity sugar substitutes. It is non-caloric and about 600 times sweeter than sucrose, or white table sugar, and although it can vary from 320 to 1,000 times sweeter, depending on the food application, the white crystalline powder tastes like a lot like sugar, but is more intense in its sweetness. Sucralose is produced by chlorinating sugar. This involves chemically changing the structure of the sugar molecules by substituting 3 chlorine atoms for 3 hydroxyl groups. Sucralose was discovered in 1976 by researchers working under the auspices of the Tate & Lyle Limited. It's a large British sugar refiner. In 1980, Tate & Lyle arranged with Johnson & Johnson, the world's largest healthcare company, to develop sucralose. And Johnson & Johnson formed McNeil Specialty Products Company in 1980 to commercialize sucralose. In 1991, Canada became the first nation to approve the use of sucralose. In April of 1998, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration granted approval for sucralose to be used in a variety of food products. Diet RC Cola was the first U.S. product with sucralose introduced in May of 1998. Sucralose is not yet approved for use in most European countries where it is still under review. The safety concerns tell us that few human studies of safety have been published on sucralose, and one small study of diabetic patients using the sweetener showed a statistically significant increase in hemoglobin, which is a marker of long-term blood glucose levels and is used to assess glycemic control in diabetic patients. According to the FDA, increases in glycosylation, I think that's the way to pronounce that, in hemoglobin imply lessening of control of diabetes. Research in animals has shown that sucralose can cause many problems in rats, mice, and rabbits, such as shrunken thymus glands up to 40%, enlarged liver and kidneys, atrophy of lymph follicles in the spleen and thymus, increased cecal weight, reduced growth rate, decreased red blood cell count, hyperplasia of the pelvis, extension of the pregnancy period, aborted pregnancy, decreased fetal body weights and placental weights, and diarrhea. According to one source, Sucralose Toxicity Information Center, concerning the significant reduction in size of the thymus gland, the manufacturer claimed that the sucralose was unpleasant for the rodents to eat in large doses and that starvation caused the shrunken thymus glands. All right, now just how few studies currently exist on sucralose is an issue. And Endurance News provides the following table illustrating this fact. Of the sweetener saccharin, the number of studies, 2,374. Aspartame, 598. Cyclamates, 459 studies. Acesulfame K, 28 studies, and sucralose, 19 studies. Now, the number of studies were determined by Medline Search. Now, in terms of safety, it is not just the original substance of sucralose that one needs to worry about, as the FDA notes, because sucralose may hydrolyze in some food products. The resulting hydrolysis products may also be ingested by the consumer. And is there any long-term human research? None. And according to the medical letter on drugs and therapeutics, its long-term safety is totally unknown. And according to the Sucralose Toxicity Information Center, the manufacturers won hundreds of the studies, some of which show hazards are clearly inadequate and do not demonstrate safety in long-term use. So we're going to test this on the general public. Remember, we did that with thalidomide back in the 1950s with the results of tremendous birth defects. Is sucralose absorbed or metabolized? Well, despite the manufacturer's claims to the contrary, the sucralose is significantly absorbed and metabolized by the body. According to the FDA's final rule report, 11 to 27% of sucralose is absorbed in humans, and the rest is excreted unchanged in feces. And according to the Japanese Food Sanitation Council, as much as 40% of ingested sucralose is absorbed. Plasma sucralose has been reported to have a half-life of anywhere from 2 to 5 hours in most studies, although the half-life in rabbits was found to be much longer at about 36 hours. About 20 to 30% of absorbed sucralose is metabolized. Both the metabolites and unchanged absorbed sucralose are excreted in urine. The absorbed sucralose has been found to concentrate in the liver, kidney, and gastrointestinal tract. According to the Sucralose Toxicity Information Center, sucralose is broken down into small amounts. And they call it dichlorofructose. It's a chemical which has not been adequately tested in humans. Well, let me take a quick break here, boys and girls, and remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour. I'm your host, George Gordon. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School, and all of these law programs are archived right here on the internet for your listening convenience. And you can go to the website georgegordon.org, that's georgegordon.org, for all of these archived programs. Now let me tell you another little story here. Did you know that the average American household making between $22,000 and $30,000 a year spends about 16%, around $5,000 of its income on food? Now if a household is making between $40,000 and $60,000 a year, that household will spend about 10%, or about $6,000 on food. Well, 12% of American households right now purchase organic produce, organic foods. They buy from health food stores, or they buy from organic produce salesmen, farmers markets. Now, that translates into some 34 million people, coast to coast and border to border, and already there are more than 4,000 small organic farms producing organic fruits, vegetables, and meats on 25 acres or less, and making at least $100,000 a year serving this growing specialty market. And some of these farms are as small as 3 acres, and they're located in every state in the union. You know, old Henry Kaiser summed it up nicely when he said of his business success, find a need and fill it. Find a need and fill it, he said. Well, here's a need just waiting to be filled. And the law school has a program to teach you how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less. This is a 5-day school, and it includes lessons on marketing, business plans, growing organic foods, and the law. Why don't you call today and order my free 4-hour CD package? Remember, it's entertaining, informative, educational, it's free of charge. It's my general law CD package, and you can order yours by simply calling 417-273-4967, or you can go to the website georgegordon.org, click onto the email machine, and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. We buy most of our food here in our household from health food stores, or we raise it ourselves. Occasionally, we go to the supermarket. It isn't that you have to give up everything in life. There are a few things that you might want to buy from the supermarket, like a jar of pickles, Vlasic pickles, or you might want to buy some ketchup or mayonnaise or mustard or some condiment. And they also carry nuts. Now, there's some problems with the foods that we eat, and for that reason, there are about 34 million people in the country, people just like you and I, listening to this program today. You know, the average guy wouldn't spend the time listening to some lunatic fringe talk about aspartame or sucralose. He's more interested in the baseball games or the basketball playoffs. But for those of us that are interested in health, 34 million of us, then it's important that you know what it is that's causing the bad health. Now, in 1900, we Americans were suffering cancer at the rate of one person out of 33 would get cancer in his lifetime. Today, it's almost one out of two. By the year 2020, it's going to be one out of one, 100%, statistically at least. And what that says to us is that something very dramatic has occurred in America over the past 100 years. And it's not just with cancer. Diseases that we never heard of before, like muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease. Now, I can remember as a boy, we always had arthritis. And this aspartame causes or mimics many of these diseases. It's not just aspartame. It's not just artificial sweeteners. It is also MSG. It's also sodium nitrite and sodium nitrate. Nobody ever studies these chemicals to find out with specificity what they cause. And indeed, in some people, the manifestation of the side effect may be Parkinson's disease, but in somebody else, it may be multiple sclerosis. In somebody else, it may be arthritis. In somebody else, it may be something else. So when we ingest these chemicals, we can never be certain. It isn't like you take 3 grams of arsenic and in 1 hour, death is certain. And you can keep experimenting with this arsenic. I mean, you can feed the arsenic to a rabbit and it dies. You can feed an arsenic to a cat and it dies. You feed the arsenic to a dog and it dies. And you come to a conclusion. You say, you know, this arsenic is a very toxic poison. And you can take a look at the effects of the poison. You know, when a cobra or a snake bites you, you can see the swelling in the tissue. You can see the excruciating pain that it causes. You can see whether it's a neurotoxin or whether it's some other type of a poison that causes some other type of symptom. And you can perform the experiment over and over and over again and come to the same conclusion. Unfortunately, with these artificial sweeteners, we have 92 symptoms that are associated with, that we know of so far, 92, and we've documented those with aspartame. But with aspartame, we've had some 24 years now to watch the results. But they put aspartame on the market in the same way that they are now putting sucralose on the market. They just put it out there, you people ingest it, and then over the next 24 years, we'll watch you and see what happens. And we'll probably catalog 92 side effects that come from it, including grand mal seizures and other things, but we won't know that. And so the people that are writing these papers are saying, you know, avoid it. My personal philosophy is I'm going to watch you eat this and watch you eat it over a long period of time, and I'll watch you and see what happens to you. And then when we get down to the end of the experiment, if there's nothing happens to you, I'll concede that, well, you know, you probably were right about that. But there are other sweeteners out there. Now, let me point something out. Honey is used for 0.5% of all of the sweetening uses on planet Earth. Now, God designed honey, and it's pretty good stuff. It comes in many flavors. You can use honey in place of sugar. It's healthful. It's nutritious. It's like milk. It should not be heated above 132 degrees, and you can tell if honey has been heated by the fact that it won't sugar. So when you go to the grocery store and you're looking at those neat little honey bears of Subi honey, which is about 49% corn syrup and 51% pure honey, which has been heated to about 220 degrees so that it kills all of the enzymes in it, but it makes it pour. I mean, that stuff will pour. It's kind of like Leslie salt, you know, or Morton salt. It pours when it rains. And so what these manufacturing companies are looking for is a chemical product that accomplishes the sweetening process. It is very inexpensive. And we don't care about the testing, and we don't care about who it kills or what kinds of symptoms that it produces. And I'm sure that the scientists involved would say, well, we would like to produce this chemical that accomplishes all of these goals without killing anybody. But unfortunately, if a few people have to die for a $1 billion a year industry, well, then so be it. Now, when the veterans came back from the Gulf War, and you may be one of those, if you're suffering one of these 92 symptoms, and by the way, you can simply go to any search engine and punch in sucralose, punch in aspartame, and you can get these same articles yourself that I'm reporting on right here. That's where we get most of our information, is off of the Internet. And then you can see what happened to you. This soda pop, this diet drinks, so these diet drinks were taken out to Saudi Arabia and stacked up in the hot sun. It got above 80 degrees, 86 degrees. You drank this stuff over there and you came back with symptoms, and you call it the Gulf War symptom. What you've got is aspartame poisoning. Now, it could well be that you were exposed to other chemicals, but primarily the chemical that you're suffering from is this aspartame, as we've seen now by watching these people. You know, there's enough of them now that have gone through testing that we can now identify what's going on, what's happened to them. Now, according to Consumers Research Magazine, some concern was raised about sucralose being a chlorinated molecule, and some chlorinated molecules serve as the basis for pesticides such as DDT. And they accumulate in your body fat. Now, however, Johnson & Johnson emphasized that sucralose passes through the body unabsorbed. Well, we've already seen that's a lie. 40% of it is absorbed. 60% passes through your body unabsorbed. So when they say, Johnson & Johnson emphasized that sucralose passes through your body unabsorbed, they're telling you the truth, and they can get away with that, because 60% of it passes through your body unabsorbed. What they're not telling you is the other half of the equation. Your body absorbs 40% of it, and that stores it in your fat. Now, of course, the assertion about not being absorbed is complete nonsense, as shown above. A substantial amount of sucralose is absorbed, so the argument is not valid. Now, according to the HAD, the manufacturer claims that the chlorine added to sucralose is similar to the chlorine atom in salt. That is not the case. Sucralose may be more like ingesting tiny amounts of chlorinated pesticides, but we will never know without long-term independent human research. Then there are the contaminants. The FDA acknowledges that sucralose is produced at an approximate purity of 98%. Now, that sounds like it's pretty pure. Just what is in that other 2%? Well, it turns out that the final sucralose product contains small amounts of potentially dangerous substances such as heavy metals, for example, lead, arsenic, triphenylophosylene oxide, methanol, chlorinated disaccharides, and chlorinated monosaccharide. And although manufacturing guidelines do specify limits on these substances, there is no guarantee that such limits will always be met. All right, so 2% of this product has heavy metals such as lead, arsenic, an oxide, methanol, and two chlorinated substances. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 items. That represents 2%. Now, I want to point something out about poison. Take a look at ant poison. Next time you happen to be in a store and you see the poisons, you look at it and it'll say 99.5% inert ingredients. And then it'll say 0.5%. And it'll have a long label on there, about 23 letters as I recall, that tells you what the active ingredient in ant poison is. And this ant poison is highly toxic to ants. How would you like to eat this ant poison, which is 99.5% inert ingredients? In other words, 99.5% of this ant poison doesn't cause any harm at all. It's just the 0.5%. So when somebody tells you that it's 98% pure, always remember the ant poison story. It's the 0.5% that kills you. Now, although manufacturing guidelines do specify limits on these subjects, there are substances, there isn't any guarantee that the limits are going to be met. And there are environmental concerns, despite the fact that a portion of sucralose is metabolized into some chemicals of questionable safety. A majority of the consumed sucralose is excreted unchanged in the feces and urine. While that may be good for the person using the product, it may not be so great for the environment. Although sucralose is being flushed down toilets wherever sucralose is approved for sale, what happens to it next is simply a matter for speculation. I don't know of any studies showing what happens to the chemical when the raw sewage is treated and then released back into the environment. Does it remain stable or react with other substances to form new compounds? Is the sucralose or any resulting chemical safe for the environment? How will this chemical affect aquatic life such as fish as well as other animals? And will sucralose begin to appear in our water supplies just as some drugs are beginning to be found? Of course, we will likely not know the answers to these questions for many years to come. But one of the main reasons for this is that the FDA did not require an environmental impact statement for sucralose because, in their words, the action will not have a significant impact on the human environment. One study did find that sucralose is metabolized by microorganisms in both the water and the soil. However, the ecological impact of this new chemical being introduced into the environment is totally unknown. Is there a benefit for consumers? Well, according to the Consumer Research Magazine, sucralose provides some benefits for the corporations making and using it, but not for any of their consumers. And they state, quote, "But are such foods truly beneficial and desirable? Diabetics, Weight Watchers, and the general public might make better food choices by selecting basic rather than highly processed foods, for example, apples rather than turnovers or plain rather than sweetened dairy foods. They note that non-caloric artificial sweeteners are not replacing, but rather they are supplementing conventional sweeteners. And they note that as of 1990, Americans were consuming an average of 20 pounds of sugar sweetness equivalency of artificial sweeteners. And as consumption of sugar substitutes has risen, so too has consumption of sugar. All right, now think about this for a minute. If you're an average American as of 1990, you're consuming 20 pounds of this chemical per year. If it's not aspartame or sucralose, then it's the other two that are on here. Cyclamate was banned. Saccharin, I think, was the cyclamate. So it's sucralose or aspartame. 20 pounds a year. Now, do you think that's good for your health? Now, can you see why it is that we're having these 92 side effects from aspartame? Now, does the sucralose help with weight loss? Well, according to Consumers Research Magazine, there is no clear-cut evidence that sugar substitutes are useful in weight reduction. On the contrary, there is some evidence that these substances may stimulate your appetite, which causes you to eat more, which makes you get fatter. Now, where is sucralose found? Well, in the United States, the FDA has granted approval for the use of sucralose in 15 food and beverage categories. For a complete list of products containing sucralose, click here. But you'll find it in baked goods and baking mixes, chewing gum, confections and frostings, fats and oils, salad dressings, fruit and water, ices, jams and jellies, processed fruits and fruit juices, sweet sauces, toppings and syrups, beverages and beverage bases, coffee and tea, dairy product analogs, frozen dairy desserts and mixes, gelatins, puddings and fillings, milk products and sugar substitutes. Also check out the complete list of products containing sucralose. As I mentioned earlier, you can simply go to a search engine like Yahoo or Google and just punch in aspartame or sucralose, and it'll take you to these websites. This one here is called www.mercola.com, and it's got a long list of information here on sucralose, and you can check it out for yourself. Now, for most of us that are into health foods, you're probably, if you're a health food person at all, you're probably watching the labels on the products and you're steering clear of it. It's the deception on the labels that disturbs me the most. For instance, natural flavor is a buzzword. It's a substitute for MSG. And they may not say aspartame. They may simply say artificial sweetener. And so if you've come to the conclusion, well, gee, there's aspartame, sucralose, cyclamates, saccharin, equal, spoonful, all these various trade names out there, you can just lump them all together. Artificial sweetener, bad, no touch. It's just that simple. If you follow that guideline, I think you'll be pretty happy. Now, we don't use honey. Honey is too expensive, so we use white sugar. White sugar is more expensive than the artificial sweeteners. And so the manufacturing companies like Heinz or anybody else will want to use artificial sweetener, or at least some artificial sweetener. They may not use it totally, but they may use half or a fourth. And what they're doing is making money, and the theory is very simple. There's 24 bottles of ketchup in a case. So if they could save, let's say, 5 cents worth of sugar on each bottle, and there's 24 bottles in there, they save $1.40. They're selling millions of cases a year. They're making millions of dollars a year by using this chemical. And this chemical, even by itself, isn't going to kill you. Not right away. But 20 pounds a year will kill you. We don't know how long, and we don't know what your tolerance is. Some people can tolerate up to 100 times more than other people. Some people are so sensitive to this stuff that it gives them an immediate allergic reaction. In other people, they have a great tolerance for these toxins and poisons, and they can take 100 times more of it. But ultimately, at some point in time, remember that this stuff is cumulative. Just like DDT, it accumulates in your fat, and when you get to a certain point in time, then it kills you, or it gives you muscular dystrophy or epileptic seizures, etc. Now, in comparison to other sweeteners, its promoters cite several benefits. Unlike saccharin, sucralose leaves no bitter aftertaste, and unlike other artificial sweeteners, it remains stable at high temperatures. And unlike sugar, it does not raise blood glucose levels. Now, as a comparison to sucralose, a 600-fold sweetness increase over sugar, consider the other artificial sweeteners on the market. Saccharin, sweet and low, 300 to 500 times sweeter. Aspartame, NutraSweet, 150 to 200 times sweeter. And acesulfame, that's acesulfame, acesulfame, K, Sunet, 200 times sweetness. Now, this is big business, is what we're really dealing with. In a 1998 report in Chemical Week states that the high-intensity sweetener market is about a $1.5 billion a year market. About 70 to 80% of that market is made up of soft drink sweeteners, of which aspartame has a near monopoly. And they note that although sucralose is 50% sweeter than aspartame, it will be difficult to persuade many soft drink producers to give up NutraSweet, since it is widely accepted by consumers. Now, is anyone monitoring the post-approval reactions? Well, apparently not. With no established system for monitoring and tracking post-approval adverse effects, how can it ever be established whether large-scale and long-term consumption of sucralose is safe? Now, there's a lot of technical information. I'm going to get past that because I can't even pronounce the names of these chemicals. And the science behind the sucralose toxicity. Here are some of the specific biochemical reasons why you will want to give serious consideration to consuming the sucralose. Much of the concern is related to the fact that the manufacturer of sucralose claims that it is derived from sugar that contains the monosaccharide sucrose. So look at the chemical name of sucralose. It's dichloro D-deoxy beta D fructose furanosol. I mean, they've got names on here that you can't even pronounce. And there's not just one, there's about 15 here in this paragraph. Should sucralose be avoided? Well, pre-approval tests indicated potential toxicity of sucralose. What more needs to be said? If we're talking about a poison, and sucralose is definitely a poison, it's a toxic chemical. Well, it goes without saying that it ought to be avoided. Now, what kind of extremes do you have to go to avoid it? Well, you know, you can use your own head. I'm not here to act as your guardian. The bottom line to sucralose is that it's a poison, not quite as poison as aspartame, which we'll come back to next time, and I'll give you a bigger, better report on it. But the bottom line to the story is that this stuff is a poison, and the fact that it's only half as poison as aspartame doesn't make it good or safe for human consumption. Well, let's see. We're just about out of time. You've been listening to The Law Hour, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour has been brought to you by the Gordon Law School as an educational service in the public interest. And if you'd like more information about The Law Hour and the Gordon Law School, then please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And keep in mind that The Law Hour is brought to you by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information on the Gordon Law School and the Law Hour, you can go to my website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, and it's on 7 days a week. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD set, and for your copy, just call the Law School. All right, we're out of time. We'll see you next time.